has been working in the field of youth sexual health since 1993, when she discovered the power of the internet to discuss sensitive topics while creating the immensely popular Go Ask Alice at Columbia University. She is currently the executive director and visionary leader of ISIS, a nonprofit organization using social and mobile media for youth sexual and reproductive health and the development of healthy relationships. ISIS has innovated many social and mobile public health projects, including InSpot, eCards, Sex Info, Text Messaging, and Just Us on Facebook. She has recently won a White House HHS Technology Challenge for a mobile app to prevent dating violence on college campuses. It's called Circle of Six. Deb holds a Bachelor's of Social Work from Cornell and a Master's of Arts in Experimental Education from New York University. Welcome, Deb.
Hi. So thank you so much. I have to tell you that this conference is so big and so overwhelming that the last time I was here was 1995 talking about Go Ask Alice. I get immobilized. So I'm really glad you're here. I'm really glad we have a full room at the end of the day. I'm going to take you to a little bit of a different place, which is sort of the what we call the before you set up a program. So last year, we were funded by the Ford Foundation to go out and to talk to young people about social and mobile media and digital technology and sexual and reproductive health. So what we did was we interviewed stakeholders in the field, and then we also put links on popular online gaming sites and surveyed 1,500 young people. And then also we wanted to compare the general youth population and young adult population to our most vulnerable. And so we did focus groups with 120 youth in Oakland, California, and also on the south side of Chicago, Illinois. So we have a huge amount of data right now. What we set out to discover concerned all these difficult and sensitive issues around sexual and reproductive health, but what we found were really clear tech trends across issue areas and across processes. And we found that the future was really clear, and there are incredible opportunities to build networks and programs that are cost-effective and sustainable if we stay on top of our tech trend forecasting. Okay, so we've got to watch what's going on. What I'm going to tell you is that in the first 6 months, 1,500 people downloaded a white paper that we wrote from the survey data and the focus group data. 50% of them were nonprofits, 37% government, and 13% philanthropy. And so we found they told us how they were using this report, and they're using it for policy briefs and presentations, grant proposals, blog content, and technical assistance and training for grantees. They really the next step that we've been doing since we published the report is actually build capacity and training Ford grantees, Ford Foundation grantees in sexual and reproductive health and justice. And so we've been mentoring executive directors and program officers and communication managers on how to do social media budgeting and staffing and implementation. So let me tell you a little bit more about what we actually found from this research. So I don't think that I have to tell this group that there are huge health disparities in the U.S. And we heard very different things from the general population of youth on the online gaming sites than we heard from youth of color and urban youth of color. And that's very much in sync with our health disparities. And I can start stating statistics, but I think you'll get that in all your other groups. But we're talking specifically here around chlamydia, gonorrhea, and HIV. And most of the and unplanned pregnancies and dating violence. So all of the big issue areas for sexual and reproductive health. And most of the youth that we spoke to in the focus groups, they had friends who had either become pregnant or had an STD before they turned 18. I should also be clear that we talked to and looked at surveys from youth age 13 to 24, so pretty big group from middle school, high school, and college aged. They told us that our educational efforts to date around sex education are out of sync with them and their culture. They said, "We know what we're doing, but we get stupid." Stupid, that word came up so many times I can't tell you. Listen, this is not earth-shattering. We know this. It's the same as it ever was. Teens and young adults learn things when they're good and ready, whether it's algebra or how to put on a condom. In the survey and the focus groups, youth ordered their three most important topics to their lives, including, and they were entertainment, education, and dating and relationships. Health was a close number four. When asked about the most effective ways to learn about relationships and sexual health issues, they were clear that the usual ways are only moderately successful, which leaves our young people today, just like us, looking for unbiased and accurate answers to their sex questions. Solution: the average 16 to 24-year-old spends 70 hours a week in front of three screens, usually simultaneously. 93% of youth are online, 80% use social media, and 87% sleep with their phones usually turned on. Interestingly enough, we did not find differences in terms of tech usage based on socioeconomic status or race, ethnicity. So there's no longer a digital divide. What we have right now is a generational divide. Again, we have the opportunity now to go out and reach. So I'm going to tell you some of the very specific things that we heard. So mobility is really important. Forget about desktops, okay? Laptops and mobile devices are what young people are using. And then many American teens, about a quarter, are trading up for the newest gadget or phone. But if you actually look at urban youth of color, they're using much more advanced features on what we might call a dumb phone or a flip phone. So if your audience is of lower socioeconomic strata, your website better be mobile. These youth are using their phones to do everything, to sign petitions, to join causes, to chat with their friends, and to do their homework. So don't underestimate the power of the mobile phone for everything. Games. Gaming is in. They offer frequent and immediate rewards. That makes sense in 2012. There is also a gender split in how young people approach games. Young adult males age 19 to 24 were much more likely to play console games, so like Xbox, PlayStation, whereas teenage girls were more looking at the casual games online, so Wii games, mobile games like Angry Birds and Words with Friends. So Facebook, if you're wondering why your son, daughter, or your intern doesn't answer their email, it's because 81% of youth use social networks for everything. So chat, email, news. That means that these young people, our urban youth who are on the web, they search the web with their dumb phones. They also get their chat and their email and their news via mobile Facebook. Okay, they have the data plans. So it's a dumb phone, but it has a data plan, it has text, and it has voice. Okay, Audrey's looking at me like I'm nuts, but no, this is actually true. It's amazing what you can do with a non-smartphone. So don't get fooled. Now, here's the one thing. There's a lot of mixed feelings around Facebook. While they do use Facebook for everything, they use different parts of Facebook and different features for different activities. So for instance, they will not enter a Facebook contest having to do with sensitive topics such as sexual health or contraception, because then their entry would show up in their status update. They would, however, talk to a trusted expert via email or text through Facebook or the chat feature. They basically were very clear that if you get too personal on Facebook, it can cause drama. 89% of our urban youth of color who have questions about sex go to search engines. So Google, number one, and then Ask.com, Yahoo, YouTube, and About.com were starting places. But Google far outpaced the other websites. But they're not searching the way you or I might be searching. So they are typing in full questions into the search box. Okay, so where I might say herpes education or herpes prevention, they will say, what are the signs of herpes? Typing the whole thing out. So, and that's, this slide is slightly hard to see, but I want to make sure you know there's a free tool offered to nonprofits called from Google AdWords. And it's literally called the Google AdWords tool. And you can search for a particular keyword. So in this case, I looked for HIV and find out what the exact search terms that people are looking for. And you can also do this geographically, nationally, internationally, and then also focus in geographically by state or by jurisdiction if there are enough searches. But if you can see this, if you look at what is HIV as a search term, it gets over 9 million searches worldwide in 1 month. But HIV education, the literal search term HIV education, is in the thousands. So we are not using these tools. Like, we may build our website, but, you know, put in the wrong tags, or write the language in a way that it's not showing up in the search engine so that young people are still not finding the good, solid, and accurate information. You know, what I always say is that, you know, Coca-Cola, believe me, they know the top three searches for Coca-Cola, which are not Coke. They are Coke-Cola, Coke-a-Cola, and what is Coke? Not Coca-Cola, the brand name. So top three searches. This is the thing. You have to be really on top of this because that's the first place that people are going to find out sex education and information. So I'm going to switch a little bit from generalizations to we tested 10 concepts. So technology, social media, mobile phone concepts with young people, both on the big survey and also in our urban youth focus groups. So the first one was a simulation video game about your personal sex life. This is incredibly popular among the older males, so which was, again, consistent with what they told us about where they're getting information. Second one was regular text messages sent to your phone with sex tips and life advice. They want to hear it from experts, and they want to be able to delete it when they're done. I should go back for 1 second just to say on that one that what they also wanted was that if you provide an action within your text message, that they'll take action approximately 1 out of 4 times. So once a month, they'll actually do something with whatever you're asking them to do in the text message. That could be anything. That could be donate. That could be to click on a website. It might be to go to a clinic or search for a clinic. But once a month, about once a month, they'll take action if you're sending them weekly messages. They are really into pictures and videos delivered via their mobile phone. They feel it's very discreet. It's private. They can find it themselves. I mean, I still have this fantasy of, you know, young man, first time having sex, goes to, you know, has his condom, he's all ready, but doesn't know what the heck to do with it. He can go to the bathroom, pull out his mobile phone, watch a 30-second video, and go back and use it consistently and correctly. So I'm still looking for that one, but they said they like that. You know, they like the idea. It's very discreet, it's very small, and they're used to watching videos on that teeny tiny little screen, which I can't see with my eyes anymore. So, and the other one, interestingly enough, is Facebook. Trusted Advice Nurse through Facebook. They felt, so we're California-based, and this came more from the Oakland focus groups, but they very much felt that everyone knows Kaiser, and that if there's a trusted brand answering questions, like that everyone knows, that it's a win. So it's private to them, even though, truthfully, Facebook is collecting all of that information. So this paper, with much more detail, is free. You can download it on the isis-inc.org website, or if you have a QR scanner, which I found in the poster session, I just downloaded mine, you can actually grab the QR code and download the paper. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that every year we have our own annual conference on sexual health and technology in youth. These dates are not quite right. It's April 7th through 9th, 2013. Come back to San Francisco. We have great weather in April, too.